This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Urban Dreaming with Sir Rummy and Miscellaneous. It's time for dreaming. What kind of dreaming? Urban Dreaming. Finding your voice, finding your spirit, no matter where you are, no matter where you go. Joy 94.9. Welcome to Urban Dreaming. Oh, it's so exciting. So Rummy, literally as we are speaking right now, is on the stage at the Sydney Opera House with the famous opera Pecan Summer. And so we're so proud that he's there and can't be there tonight. But in the studios, I have two very special guests. But before I get to them, I would like to begin with an acknowledgement that we pay respects to the sovereign people of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations in which we work, live and broadcast, including a special shout out to all of our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI community. How fabulous. So as I said, it's a very special show tonight. One, because Sir Rummy is on the stage at the Sydney Opera House, but also because I have not one, but two very special guests in the studio with me. I have the famous Andy Kay from Black, White and Rainbow here at Joy FM. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Look, I'm really good. I've had a busy week and I got a bit sick actually. So,
You didn't have what Hillary Clinton had.
I don't know what she had. She's got pneumonia, hasn't she?
Yeah,
pneumonia, as Constantine the Bush calls it. Pneumonia. But no, I just had. I thought I was coming down with the flu, but it was actually. I don't know what it was, but
a dizzy spell.
Busy dizzy drag queen spell. But I'm here now, and I'm so glad that you can help out, Andy, and come in and
my pleasure,
and be a part of it. And,
wonderful to be part of the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I was saying before that I've been on Andy's show, but he wasn't there, so it's so good to actually have him here. And
yeah, usually NAIDOC week I always go home and see my family, so I was away that Wednesday night. So thank you for filling in,
which is always important. No worries at all. And as I mentioned, our very special guest tonight, the very gorgeous, the very beautiful, Miss Pauline Wyman.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Can you hear me? Have we got this on?
Yes.
We can hear you. I couldn't hear myself, sorry.
You can't hear yourself?
thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much for coming in. And, for those of you out there that don't know, Pauline Wyman is actually a really good friend of mine. We've known each other for a very long time.
Yes.
We'll get to how we met and all that stuff later in the show. We've also got some music coming up. We've got gossip. We've got yarns. And tonight we've got Missy's 10 quick questions, which I'm going to be asking Pauline Wyman. She doesn't know what the questions are, so that's going to be a really interesting time. So make sure you tune in for that. Also, make sure I'm determined to get someone get in and text me. This is, I think, our fourth or fifth show, so I'd like to get a text from someone. And the text number is 0427JOY949. That's 0427JOY949. Or you can email if you want to, if you've got some fast fingers, on onair@joy.org.au. That's onair@joy.org.au.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Wow, that's the first time I've heard that song. I really loved it. Crystal Mercy City Lights.
She's amazing on stage when she performs it too.
Yeah, and she does, because I've seen her perform. And does she do poetry spoken word?
Oh, yes, she does. What can't she do?
What can't she do, absolutely. And as you mentioned, she's currently on stage as we speak at the Sydney Opera House in Pecan Summer, which is the Deborah Cheatham show, which is about the Cummeragunga walk-offs and the strike that happened there. And, you know, it is, I think, the first Aboriginal opera to be played at the Opera House, I do believe,
which is quite astounding given it's 2016. But hey, that's the mighty, mighty force of Yorta Yorta people.
Oh, yeah.
I might be a bit biased there being Yorta Yorta myself.
We should formally introduce Miss Pauline Wyman before we get into her life. And I'm going to read a bit of your bio here. And I'm sure there's much more to be added to that. But the darling heart Pauline Wyman has appeared in numerous theatre companies. Some of her credits include Ilbidgery Theatre Company, La Mama, Playbox Theatre, Malthouse Theatre, Melbourne Workers Theatre Company, Hot House Theatre Company, Melbourne Theatre Company, Sydney Theatre Company, oh my goodness, Black Swan Theatre Company, Yiri Yarkin and Widmill Performing Arts Theatre. Continuing her work as a theatre practitioner, Pauline has participated in the National Playwrights Conference and home-based playwright conferences, and also worked, as I said, with Ilbidgery, and she's worked with writers, directors, dramaturgs and actors. She also wrote and directed and produced Funny Bones, a sit-down comedy. Pauline directed Kutcher Edwards' Yuyuthika, a musical stage journey of his life, which I missed, unfortunately. I'd love to see it. And that show toured lots of festivals, including the Festival of the Dreaming, Woodford, went to Queensland, regional Victoria, and appeared in the Melbourne at the Spiegel Tent. Her film, oh gosh, she's a big film star as well, has appeared in Here I Am, Harry's War, The Order, The Ruins, Woolow, 2011. Yeah. And of course, she has been on TV series as well. She was on, I think, what was that show called? The with Deb Marlman? What's that one?
Oh, The Secret Life of Us.
It was one of my favourite TV shows, actually. And she has been twice nominated for a Deadly for Best Female Actor and two-time recipient of a Viper Award, which is the Victorian Indigenous Performing Arts Award.
So can I just interrupt?
Yes, you can.
So, Pauline, what's next? You have to release a fragrance.
Yes, I've got a swimline suit, coming out as well.
Summer holiday attire, some caftan.
Yes.
That would be beautiful, actually. You should do that.
I will.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, give me all these ideas.
Give Camilla a run, you know, run for her money. but as I said, you know, I've known Pauline for, gosh, how long has it been now?
It's nearly 20 years, I believe.
20 years. God, I must have met you when I was three.
I must have been four.
You must have been babysitting me. But I've had, I've watched Pauline's career and, you know, I was always spellbound by her performances on stage, and you know, you have such a great presence, and great experience, and you know, story behind you. And I suppose you know, coming on the show today, it'd be good to know a little bit more about you, and for our listeners out there, about who Pauline Wyman is. And
do I really want to know myself?
But you know, like, tell us a little bit about your upbringing, you know, where you come from, where you were born, your people, who your people are.
Well, I'm a Yorta Yorta woman with Kulin bloodlines through Tunnerong mob on my dad's side. And my mum as well. So I was born in a place called Denny, or short for Deniliquin, they call it Dinny. And I grew up in New South Wales during the assimilation policy, because I was forcibly removed from my family when I was young, and as were a lot of my other siblings. But we were lucky enough to actually find our way home, and because that was always a constant thing in my mind. I remember never giving up, wanting to come home from the very day I was, I remember being taken. So that was my life's, still my life's energy, really, because you're constantly making making up for lost time. I came back home when I was 12, so but I was still a ward of the state, so it was only a visit, and I still had to live with my foster family at the time. And but at least I was in contact with my family again, and so that was the beginning of reconnection from that age. And like I said, that's been my life force. So
And when did you move to Melbourne? When did that journey happen?
Oh, about 1994, in the middle of winter.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Oh, great.
Very
that's
freezing.
Good decision to make.
Yeah.
And what brought you here?
Well, I was living in Sydney, living and working in Redfern at the time, and I'd met lots of people in Redfern from lots of different areas around New South Wales and Victoria. So I had met family up there, and I knew there was a lot more family down here.
Yeah.
So when I finished in Sydney, I was only there for a very sort of.
And what were you doing there? What were you doing in Sydney?
I actually worked in Namaroo, which was an Aboriginal Skillshare.
Ah.
So I'd help people get.
Was that
work.
Your first job? What was your first job?
Oh, my first job was an unpaid job when I was still at home. You know, just domestic duties and things like that. And so I've worked all my life, but it hasn't always been paid work.
Yeah. It's life of a performer too, let me tell you.
I know, we should be gazillionaires.
I know, exactly.
So I was working at Namaroo Skillshare, amongst other things. Before that, I worked in the Indigenous Homework Centres, and also I worked in the education departments of Long Bay and Parramatta jails.
Wow.
At the age of 24, I think it was. And I think I was the first one of at that time working in that role. Mm. And so I guess it was always about, you know, like wanting to be able to, you know, inform and educate not only myself but then share that with others.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, people at the time in jail, at that time there wasn't much happening, you know. And, you know, now we've got, you know, people have access to artworks in jail. Able to write and paint and do radio even. So there was nothing back then in the day. Mm. So I would take in anything that was, like, you know, in the community at Redfern, like a leaflet or a newsletter, and, you know, and I'd be running messages between jars and families, and every now and then someone would try and say, can you pick up a parcel for me? Oh, I'm sorry, brother, I can't. You know what I mean? So it was interesting. I would write.
Yeah, I wonder what was in that parcel.
And I'd write letters, help people write letters and, you know, scribe people's letters and then, like, help them write that for their loved ones and then pass that on to them. And so it was a really important role.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, so I really enjoyed that. So then I eventually came down here and started a course at Swinburne University.
And did that start your little career, did it?
That was
the performing arts career.
Yeah, so I did it just to gain some confidence. And
God, look at you now. Well, that definitely worked, didn't it? You got some confidence there, didn't you?
Well, I've been working ever since, so.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so how long have you been here for now? That's been quite a while now.
That was 94. So, yeah, so 22 years.
Yeah.
22 years, yeah.
Wow.
And, yes.
And you love it? You love it here?
I do. It's like a big old country town compared to Sydney. It's, I don't know, it just has
big old country town.
Oh, well, it's not, I know. It's like a melting pot.
Mind you, when I lived in Sydney for a while, and then when I lived in London, and when I came back from London, I came back here and I was like, oh, my God, it feels like a country town after living in London.
Right, yeah.
It was bizarre. I was like, because coming from Darwin to Sydney, Sydney and Melbourne were always like hustle and bustle and it was like crazy. And then going to London and then coming back here, it was like, wow, we, you know, it's a small, Australia's small, the cities here are small.
And so what took you over to London?
Well, the kangaroo, the flying kangaroo. I had another life as a business and first-class flight attendant, everyone. So you can imagine Miscellaneous walking up and down the business and first-class corridors. In full drag. No, I didn't in full drag. It was, you know, I was out of uniform then. In a different uniform. But, yeah, I moved there for the job with Qantas. So I had a fantastic life over there for 3 years. And it was one of the most amazing times of my life, actually.
Yeah.
And
what brought you back to Darwin then, wasn't it?
Well, no, my job ended.
Right.
Yeah, so the job ended in London, and then I came back and got back in the arts. So then I did directing, and then became a drag queen. And so here I am all those years later. So that was 2007. So
wow.
I've had a bit of a journey between then and now, going back to Darwin, reconnecting with family and and then moving back. So I've been in Melbourne since January now, so.
And you fly back almost every other weekend?
Every month I fly back for work, you know. Can't get enough.
The Love Boat was your last show that you did.
That was my last show, yes, thank you.
And it went off well.
And that went off really well, yes. The ship sailed.
And you're currently at Ilbidri, I believe.
Excuse me, I'm the interviewer here.
Sorry. So, like,
look at her, Andy, taking over this, you know.
Let it go,
yeah. She's our special guest, so she can do what she wants, actually. But no, I am at Ilbidri Theatre Company, where you have worked with. Before, many times actually. So I'm their creative producer there, which I'm loving.
Yes, and they're very lucky to have you, and we're very lucky to have you too.
Oh, thank you. On that note, we might play some music, I think. So what song have you got now? Well, what artist should I say?
Who have we got now?
Dan.
So
and why Dan. Have you picked Dan Sultan, the gorgeous thing?
Well, there's one reason. Oh, yeah. He's gorgeous. He's got an amazing voice, incredible talent. Yeah. He's grown up and around Fitzroy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a staunch Aboriginal man who, you know, really represents, you know, when he's out there in the big wide world, he's kind of like, you know, so famous, but we're so lucky to have him. Being
humble
and he's just a cool fella. Yeah. Anyway, if you're listening out there, Dan, how you going? We love you.
And you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9 with Miscellaneous and special guest Pauline Wyman and Andy Hay. If you want to get in touch, you can SMS 0427 Joy 949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Okay, so we'll go to Dan Sultan now. This is called Can't Blame Me.
Oof. Hi, this is Kathy Freeman, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
You're on Urban Dreaming 94.9, and we've got the gorgeous Pauline Wyman in the studio and the fabulous guest host Andy Kay from Black, White and Rainbow joining us here. And as I mentioned, Pauline, we were talking about her family and where she's come from. And you've had such an incredible career in terms of you're saying that you did that course and that really you did a course to get your confidence.
Yes.
and then from there you've kind of been acting ever since. What was your first major production? Do you remember?
Well, I came out and I did a show called The Drover's Boy, which was an independent theatre show, and I played The Drover's Boy, which is sort of the history of Aboriginal women who were dressed as Aboriginal men stockmen that accompanied, you know, the head stockman who was a white man.
Yeah.
And so essentially, you know, like it was sort of like a forbidden relationship, and it wasn't always, you know, a love kind of relationship. Mm. It may have been, you know, by force at the time. So that was the first kind of really hard-hitting role I'd played. But then I did a show called for Melbourne Workers Theatre at the time, and unfortunately that particular theatre company isn't around anymore. Mm. But I played a role in Up the Ladder by Kevin Gilbert.
Yeah.
And it was about the boxing tents in the 1950s. So I played...
they were some really good plays, weren't they? Forgot about those.
Oh, and I had to play, and then, you know, I was, you know, young 20-something-year-old, and I was playing a woman in her, you know, maybe 50s or something.
Oh,
so they had to grey me up and everything.
Oh, no.
And yeah, now it's like I've got to put box colour for mile 7 in my hair now.
Oh, well, your hair's looking fabulous. Let me just tell you.
Yes, it's box colour.
For those of you who haven't seen or don't know Miss Pauline Wyman, check out our Facebook page, Urban Dreaming. We've got some pictures up there of some of the production that she's been in. And so there's a photo on there actually of a production. Was it Oscar Wilde? Was it?
Oh yes, Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest.
And was that who was that with?
That was for Black Swan State Theatre Company in Perth. And
How was that production received? And
well, it's an old favourite. Like
yes,
it's,
not
it's,
old. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around for like
years.
For years. And so
one of his most famous, actually.
One of his most famous, yeah. So it was the first sort of like, I guess, a modern classic, you might call it, that I'd ever played.
Yeah.
And I played Miss Prism, so she was the governess, and yeah. I had to learn how to speak really good English. So I had a dialect teacher in and I spoke really well and all this sort of thing.
Wow.
I won't even try and do it now, but anyway, you know, because my sentences can go around the world in, you know, one sort of phrasing. But
and was that one of, because it's so interesting that, as we spoke about with Drover's wife and a lot of the productions you have been in, through the type of work it is or the play it is that you playing a lot of Indigenous roles, or you play,
yes.
you know. And I know that there is a struggle out there in terms of typecasting or, mm-hmm. you know, for us to be cast in work that's not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander.
Yes.
And I suppose the importance of being earnest is one of those examples. Has there been many more examples like that? Have you found, is it, you know, you can count on your hand the number of coloured blind casting roles that you've got?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. On one hand, I could probably count. I can't even think of them at the moment.
Okay. I can think of one finger at the moment. But
well, definitely Miss Prism.
And, yeah. you know, and how important do you think it is? Because, you know, you've had a career spanning over 20 years now. How have you seen the career, the industry change, and you know, what kind of what have you seen?
Oh gosh,
has there been a change? Is it better?
Well, at times I think, you know, people are listening. Like I had a conversation today with somebody and wanting me to, you know, consult on be involved in a woman who wants to write Indigenous characters, and she's non-Indigenous, and it was via email. So I just sort of thought, well, you know, I have to be honest and say, you know, I actually don't have time to talk about this right now, this week. Mm. And but I'm happy to advise, you know, that, you know, this person probably should actually maybe consider collaborating and co-writing, and because that would be the better way to approach the topic to before you bring it to somebody like me. Because I said often First Nations people, actresses and, you know, sometimes directors, and that's our role. But then we get asked these other roles.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's not – it's sort of like we take a heavy cultural load and responsibility.
Absolutely.
People don't understand that weight that we carry.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I carried that with me in every production I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's definitely something that I know that I have felt as well.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, there are a lot of people asking for consultation or asking for advice or and, you know, it sometimes it can get a bit exhausting. And
it does.
You know, and also this kind of argument around creative control with our work.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm a big advocate for, and I know that a lot of people I know are big advocate for, particularly with theatre, are about creative control of the work, which basically means it's driven by, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, whether that's the director, writer, producer, you know,
exactly,
or performers, all of that, you know. So
yeah, and that role itself is actually credited as such as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're not just the actor, but then also you're
a consultant to the work,
and you're actually credited as that as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So and you're paid accordingly then too, because yeah.
So have you written much?
Well, I've attempted to write a lot, as a lot of us artists have. I guess I've, like, you know, produced, you know, like a short film, a short play, numerous other things I've dabbled in. And
because I want to see your autobiography actually one day. I think that'll be, and then we'll turn it into a film, I think. But, you know, just on that, what do you think you would name your autobiography of your life?
Oh gosh, I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm actually writing something at the moment that I've got that I'm putting on for Womanjeka Festival.
Oh yes.
At Footscray Community Arts Centre, just a reading of my play.
Yep.
Based on my life, and the working title is Out of the Black and Blue.
Oh.
Yeah, so anyway, you're the first to hear it here today.
Oh, we've got an exclusive. See, I love this show. I tell you, we always have the exclusive here at 11 p.m. when everyone's listening.
Sleep.
They're the best type of scoops when no one's listening. But I'm sure there's people out there listening to us, and that's an amazing. And tell us about the Womanjeka Festival. Like, what's
Well, they
that?
Have that every year, and it's...
Have you been, Andy? Have you been to
I
that?
Haven't been. No.
Is it in your... Is it been... How long has it been going for, do you know?
About six, okay. 7 years it's yep. been produced for now, and it started off small with Paula Bella, who's a Wumbawamba Gunditjmara woman who is an arts producer. She started initially on a really small scale, and then now it's like a week-long festival.
Wow,
and
I love that.
So it'll start off with, you know, like exhibitions, yep. and then they'll have music concert, they'll have plays, all sorts of
wow.
amazing.
Oh my God, can't wait
concert.
To do. So when's it on?
In February.
Next, that's my birthday month. Oh, that's right, I think I'm away.
Yeah, we talked about
We've
that.
Discussed this, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well.
Moving on.
Oh, well, moving on. Yeah, moving on. Okay, I don't care anymore. But no, I'm joking.
So I'm writing like a reading piece for that. Like, so I'm, you know, very nervous about that.
And it's very vulnerable. Like writing your own stuff is very vulnerable, you know, and you know, because you're bearing your soul. Are you performing in it? Like
yes.
Yes, so you're doing it all.
Yes, yes.
And just you?
Just me at the moment.
Pulling face, I can tell that, you know, it's going to be... An excruciating experience.
Oh.
No, I've worked on a couple of one-person plays, and you know the person that it involves. You know, it's a really scary, vulnerable thing for people, because you know the even just creating work is a vulnerable thing, even if it's a story that you're making up.
Mm.
Whereas when this is so close to home,
yeah.
and you know, and it involves people that possibly are coming to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it
brings in a lot of, and I think, you know, the only advice I would give around that is ensuring that you have a safe network around you and a safe creative team that
yes.
you trust, that you're able to yes. give over your stuff and allow them to objectively create stuff. You know?
Yes, I do actually. Lydia Fairhill, who's producing it, and the whole crew at Footscray Community Arts Centre actually, you know, I love them. It's like a love fest when we all get together. But they're really supportive, and that makes the world a difference too. And then, of course, I've got family and friends you know.
Oh, I'll be there with, you know.
Thank you.
Big supporter, as you know, with my Pauline Wyman T-shirt. T-shirts are a huge thing here, you know, like, what do you call it? Like merchandise T-shirts.
Oh, yes, we'll have to get some merch happening.
With people on the front. And I want to come back after the break and talk about your weekend, because I know that you went to... the protests on the weekend. So we might go to a song, and then after the break we'll come back and chat about the protests.
Sweet.
And so you're listening to Urban Dreaming with Miscellaneous and special guest Pauline Wyman and me, Andy Kay. We're going to go to...
Sneaky?
Yeah,
let's do it with a sneaky.
Okay, this is Sneaky Sound System with I Love It.
Ooh.
Ethel Chop here. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Idiot.
My heart is aching. I'm waiting to hear. Holly Diamond. Joy 94.9. It's my ninth favourite radio station.
And that was Sneaky Sound System. I love it. And let me tell you, I'm loving it tonight in the studios on Urban Dreaming. Joy 94.9 with Andy Kay, Pauline Wymond, and myself, Miscellaneous. It's been a fabulous night. Thank you so much. I said to Pauline before she came on tonight, mm-hmm. I said, you might want... I said, Pauline, do you want to be a special guest on the show? And she said, yes. And I said, you might just need to have a little nana nap before you come on, just because it's very late. She said, what time? I said, 11 p.m. But I said, that. She goes, that's all right. I'll have a little sleep before I come in. So I do, so don't worry about that. I have a little sleep. Otherwise, sometimes when Suri's in here chatting, I just have a sleep in the corner in the studio. It's all fine, you know.
You've got to catch up on your beauty sleep.
Got to catch up on your beauty sleep. So as I mentioned before, we went to Sneaky Sound System, that you were out and about on the weekend.
Yes.
And you attended the special protest march
For Elijah.
Yeah, Justice for Elijah.
Yes.
Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. And how was that? Tell us a bit about
Well, it was actually organised by some young people. It was their first time here in Melbourne that these young people had organised it, which, you know, I think in Melbourne itself we have a really strong activated community when it comes to, you know, rallying the troops and getting out on the streets and, like, making ourselves known. You know, how we support our brothers and sisters in other areas of Australia, especially what's been happening, you know, with
around the country. Yeah.
Around the country with, you know, the closing of the Western Australian communities, but also then the bout of, you know, deaths in custody. And and then, of course, you know, then the young fellow Elijah, who was, you know, tragically killed and by being run over deliberately. And
have we heard anything at the protest march? Because I know that, you know, my friend Maine Wyatt, you'd know him as well.
Yes,
who's
I do.
Another famous, amazing actor as well. He's from Kalgoorlie, and I know that he had a lot of posts on his Facebook about what was happening and what was going on there. And you know, it's really interesting what happens and, you know, what you see on Facebook. And I just haven't really seen much on it at the moment. And it's one of those things that, you know, if it's not on the media or it's not in front of you, you don't actually, you don't know what's going on. And did they talk about what's been happening? Or was it more so much about just, you know, the justice for him? And
The justice for Elijah, essentially, was the march. But I guess it was sort of like the march was, you know, a message for any young people that are, you know, just justice for us as people. Because the focus was actually focused on Elijah allegedly stealing a motorbike. And the thing was, he owned the motorbike. And so the focus of, you know, the media, mainstream media, focused always, you know, the blame on this 14-year-old boy, I should say. And,
it a big crowd there? Like, what was...
It grew more and more and more, but there was a large police contingency. And it was a peaceful rally, and we made note of their presence. And
was this one of your first... Have you been to many of the rallies before? That, because as you said, I know me moving to Melbourne, there's always kind of a, there is a big, what do you call it, like a rallying of the troops with a lot of, you know, climate change, a lot of the things that happen, there's, you know, there seems to be a lot of action here and people do get involved with all of the action. And
we're really lucky that we've got a lot of young people.
It's really great. I think it's really, really admirable and to see people actually getting out there and showing their support, you know?
Yeah, and it leaves you thinking, you know, I'm not old and I'm not young, but it, like, makes you think, oh, you know, this, you can, you know, there's a young people coming up that are got fire in their belly and they've, you know, they've got youth and enthusiasm and, you know what I mean? So it makes you feel, you know, alive again because, you know, like, younger people are coming up and, you know, making a stance. And I think when I was younger, was different in terms of how we got the message out there, whereas now we've got social media, we can be instamatically activated, you know what I mean? Mm. So we can keep closely connected a lot quicker these days as well, given the social media and how we've used that to our advantage, you know? And, because we're all tech savvy. I may not be personally, but anyway.
I like to pretend I am as well, you know. Well, I'll just say that I am, you know, for... But, you know, it was really great, and I saw some of the photos from the weekend, and, you know, it's, you know, we hope for the best, and, you know, we always have the support, and, you know, there's a long way that we need to go with our people and the fights and the struggles that we have, and, you know, anything that we can do like that I think is really great, and it was really great seeing you down there and showing your support.
Thank you.
And then we caught up, didn't we? And we had a little, we went to the drag markets.
That's right, down at the Greyhound. Down the Greyhound. In St Kilda.
We had fairy bread cupcakes. We had some fairy bread and cupcakes, and thanks to, Baby Slut and Asia Buffet.
Yes.
That cooked us some amazing sweets.
Gorgeous. I love those markets.
Oh, they were great, weren't they?
Yes.
I don't know how often they're on, but, you know, next time they're on, we'll go down there and maybe we'll sell some Blackfella stuff. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
We'll get in there and sell some stuff. Yeah. So I know that you've got a bit of what's coming up or what's happening, actually.
Okay.
She's been such a great host. She's brought in some some research. We like that, actually.
Oh, well, actually, one of my passions is like, you know, people might think, oh, God, who's this pulling woman stalking me online and, like, you know, doing posts and reshares and all that. But it's because I just love the fact that there's so many amazing, talented, smart, incredible people doing amazing things. So we've got Pecan Summer, obviously, on at the Opera House right now as we speak. Get down there, get your ticket. We've also got Ilbidri's got a few things coming up, actually. You've just had Which Way Home by Kate Beckett and Tony Briggs.
Yes, and we actually had on the show Tony Briggs and Katie Beckett, which was great.
And you had an embargo at the time I last spoke to you, but now I believe that they're actually going to Sydney Festival with that.
Yes, they are. That's been announced, which is great. So they are a part of the Sydney Festival, so that's happening in January. So no rest for the wicked,
that's
for
right.
sure. You
and
know.
I'm very excited about that, and congratulations to Kate Beckett.
Yeah.
Her first play.
Yes. Have you met her, Andy? Did you?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Yeah, she's a Sydney lovely young playwright, new playwright, and... And a great actress, actually. She was really great in this, wasn't she?
Yeah, I love the show. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope it goes well in Sydney because it did really well down here as well. And Tony's actually got some a TV series coming up called Warriors.
So, yes, I know. The talented man he is.
So you'll have to get him back in again and talk all about Warriors.
Yes.
And I won't go back into that too much right now, but that sounds like it's going to be incredible. It's in the making for a few years now.
Okay, I'll have to get you on each week and do the gossip, like the roundup of what's been happening. You're great.
Also, then I believe you've got Ilbidri's got Tandaran coming up in October.
Yes,
Is it October?
Yes, October. So that opens the Melbourne International Arts Festival. Well, that's basically a ceremony that's been reignited that used to happen with all of the Kulin nations, and so it's a coming together of all the Kulin nations, and it's a ceremony. So basically this forms a part of the opening of the Melbourne International Arts Festival.
It's quite a spectacular event.
I haven't been a part of it because I've only moved back here in January, but have you been to it, the Tandaran? I think it's been 3 years. I think this is the third year.
Down at Federation Square.
So it hasn't happened, you know, this is the third year. So at Federation Square, and it's an incredible event, like you said, and I'm very excited. It takes a lot of work, as you can imagine. You know, there's I'd say over 100 dancers, really.
That's incredible,
you know,
isn't
of
it?
all the nations, the Kulin nations, and, you know, so blessed that we're able to witness this great event.
Yeah, and the incredible skills of Maria Randall, who's...
Lou Bennett.
Lou Bennett, yeah.
Works on the vocals. I think Sarumi.
Sarumi, doing some dancing. Yes. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. And what else we got? We've got in November, we've got Jack versus the Crown coming up at the Arts Centre, as well as the, I think it's the 25th year celebration of Ilbidri Theatre
God,
Company.
God, you've done your homework, haven't you, Pauline Wyman? Yes, it is the 25 years. Yes, finger on the pulse.
Hey, this is Casey Donovan, proud to be heard on the big, beautiful and sexy Joy 94.9.
and you're listening to Urban Radio on Joy 94.9. You've got Miscellaneous here, Pauline Wyman and the beautiful Andy Kay. So we don't have much time left, so we're going to go into our 10 quick questions, which I promised for Pauline Wyman. Miscellaneous is 10 quick questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
First thing that comes to your mind. Okay. Favourite colour?
Vegemite.
Favourite colour?
It's black, isn't it?
I was like, did I say...
I can't wait to hear the rest of these questions.
Okay, Vegemite, I got you. Yeah, you okay. Go, girl. Okay, best memory?
I forget.
Vegemite.
But yeah, Vegemite. That'll be for everything now. Favourite TV show?
Oh, gosh. Clever Man.
Oh. Winter, summer, autumn or spring?
Spring.
Ooh, spring in your step. Yes. Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Mm. Finish this sentence. I want to be...
a drag queen.
Oh, good answer. Rome or Greece?
Greece.
UK or USA?
UK.
Will Smith or Denzel Washington?
Denzel.
Treaty or recognise?
Treaty.
Oh, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it first on Urban Dreaming. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we've got time for tonight. I want to say a very big special to Andy Kay for being our guest host, filling in for Sir Rami. Thank you.
My pleasure. It's been a really great show. It's been fun to be part of.
Thank you so much. And Pauline Wyman, thank you, darling heart.
Thank you.
You are a huge, big star. And we'll get you on again. Don't worry about that.
I'd love to come back again. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you at all. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week with more. I think Sir Rummy is coming back as well. And would love to see you. Have a good night, everyone. Lots of love. And I'm saying, Andy's saying, say more.
Make sure you listen to Black, White and Rainbow.
Black, White and Rainbow,
on
yes.
On Wednesday night, 10 p.m. But make sure you tune in next week. Yes. Who have you got lined up for next week?
We don't know yet. I'll think about that after I finish this radio station because Pauline Wyman was up there, so we're going to have to find someone, you know, just as special to come in. I don't know who it's going to be, actually. It's all downhill from here.
Oh,
but, yeah, it's been a very fabulous night. We do love it here on Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.